Okay, so we are in the final part of our series looking at the other 3:16s. We started Easter Sunday, John 3:16, then we looked at 2 Timothy, then we looked at Luke, then we looked at James, and this morning, amazingly, we're going to look at Ephesians. Rochelle opened with Ephesians chapter 3. We're going to look at that this morning. So why don't you turn with me if you've got your Bibles? If not, it will come up on the screen. Ephesians chapter 3. I better open my Bible. It says this, starting at verse 14. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father. This is Paul writing. I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we can ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. And that verse, Ephesians 3, verse 16, let me just read it to you in the Passion Translation. It says, I pray that he would unveil within you the unlimited resources of his glory and favor until supernatural strength floods your innermost being with his divine might and explosive power. Wow. Come on. I want some of that. I want some of that. So my favorite film in the entire world is The Matrix. It came out in 1999. It was ahead of its time in terms of filming and all of that stuff. And if you have not seen it, shame on you. It's amazing. And it has God messages throughout, even though it is not a Christian movie. But there's this one scene, and I'm not going to try and give you all the information. It's quite complex in its themes. But there's this scene. Well, I suppose I need to give you a bit of an overview. So Neo is this person who has entered into what is called the Matrix, and it is this world that is without limitations. And he's in this world, and he's put into a scenario with this other guy, and they are in a fight simulation. And so they start to fight in a manner that, as human beings, would be impossible. They are jumping higher than any of us could ever jump. They are punching faster than any of us could ever punch. And they're having this fight, and it goes on for like a minute or so. And then afterwards, Neo is kind of on the floor, and he's panting. And then the other guy, Morpheus, he says to him, "Do you think that's air you're breathing?" Because there is no air. It's just what he's been conditioned to believe. And he can punch faster than he can ever punch before because he's no longer with the limitations that we have on this world. And this whole thing in this movie is all about kind of just getting rid of what we have been conditioned to believe by the world. And that actually all the stuff that stops us getting into our full potential is just restrictions that we are carrying based on beliefs that aren't true. And so this morning, I just want to encourage each and every one of us that God wants us to live in all the fullness of him. That's what this passage talks about, that we are to live in the fullness of God. And in order to live in that fullness, we need to shake off and get rid of the limitations that this world has put on us. Because we're living from a place that says you cannot do certain things that I know we can do in Christ. And so we're going to go on a bit of a journey this morning to look at that theme. Just imagine what it would look like in our lives if we lived with this understanding at the core of our being that we have access to the unlimited resources of God's glory and his favor. That we actually have this supernatural strength flooding our innermost being, this divine might, this explosive power. If we lived with that as our reality, as the truth, as the way in which we see our lives, when the world says you should just give up, God says that with just a little hope, with just a little hope, you can move mountains. When the world says you should mourn, God says, no, 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 we have hope. When the world says you are not good enough, God says, I've given you everything that you need in order to fulfill my calling on your life. I don't know what God wants you to do in your life, but hear this, if you can do it in your own strength, that's not God's plan for you. If you can do it in your own strength, then that is not God's plan for you. Because he wants the glory. And so we should be living lives where we can't do this in our own strength. We need the power of the Holy Spirit at work in us and through us. And the reality is that you may be able to do some incredible things in your own strength. And that's great. But the truth is that if you live your life from the understanding of God's unlimited resources, his divine might, his explosive power, the results of living from that place in his strength and not our own will be far greater than anything we can do in our own strength. Amen? He's got incredible plans for you. He's got incredible plans for us as a church, but we need his power. We need his spirit at work in us and through us to see them come to pass. You know, God made a promise to Abraham. He said, your descendants are going to be innumerable as the stars. But as Abraham and his wife Sarah got older and they still didn't have any children, they began to doubt. They begin to listen to what the world was saying to them, that actually maybe this calling of God, this promise of God is not going to happen because, well, we're too old to have kids. So at the age of Abraham 86 and Sarah 76, they decided, okay, maybe God needs a little help. And so they took things into their own hands. And Sarah says to Abraham, okay, you go and sleep with my servant Hagar and we'll have a baby that way. Because maybe that's what God intended. And so that goes on, that happens, and Ishmael is born. And then out of that flows bitterness and jealousy of Sarah, because that was not God's plan. That was not God's promise. What that was some people thinking, okay, we'll just do it in our own strength. We'll live and we'll operate from the limitations of this world that says, actually, at the age of 76, you're probably not going to be able to have a child anymore. But that wasn't God's plan. That wasn't his promise. They were putting limitations on God. And so fast forward a few years. Now Abraham is 100 and Sarah is 90. If there were no chances at 76, there's definitely no chance now at 90. And yet, through the promise of God and the power of his spirit, Isaac is born. Isaac is born naturally to Abraham and Sarah. This impossible child was born. And he grew up to be a man of great faith who lived in obedience to God's word. And then you look at his bloodline, comes Jacob and Judah and David and Solomon and ultimately Jesus. Because that was his plan all along. That actually the promise to Abraham was, your descendants will outnumber the stars. But at some point, the limitations of the world crept in and he began to doubt God's promises. And so tried to do it himself. But when we leave the limitations off, and when we trust in God, his promises will come through. He will come through. He will deliver. And it will be far greater than anything we could imagine. I think sometimes we place limits on God. But his resources are unlimited. His resources are unlimited. There's never going to be a time when he has given out so much of his goodness and so much of his grace and so much of his blessings that, oh, I'm sorry, I've run out now. There's none left for you. That is not the way that God operates. That is not what will happen in him, because his love and his favor and his power is never ending. Is unlimited, his resources. And so no matter what we come up against, no matter what circumstances we find ourselves facing, with God, we've got the strength to come against anything and everything. We just need to get rid of the limitations on our lives. We need to stop putting limitations on God. Ruth and I love hospital dramas. Any Grey's Anatomy fans in the room? We love a bit of Grey's, although it's kind of gone on a bit long now. But looking back to like the early days of Grey's Anatomy, so it's a you're following the lives of some surgeons through a hospital in Seattle, and you're kind of getting to know each of the surgeons, and you're understanding the way in which they work or operate, for you know, reality terms. And so we get to understand the different surgeons, and as they come to the operating table and before they operate on whatever surgery is about to take place, they each have their own little routine. Their own little kind of things that they do to get themselves in the zone, ready to operate on this patient. And so Derek, he stands there, and before he does anything, before he cuts them open, he says, "It's a great day to save lives. And then he makes his first cut, and off he goes. And then there's a lady called Bailey. She would pause, and she takes a moment, and she prays. Just in her head, she prays. And then she cuts open the patient and does whatever it is that she needs to do. But the one I just want to mention this morning is called Amelia. Amelia Shepherd. She's a neurosurgeon. And so before she operates on a patient, she strikes a pose. Why don't you stand with me? We're going to do this together. Stand up. Stand to your feet. Come on. Quick. She strikes a superhero pose. And so you're going to put your hands on your hips, your chin up tall, and she just stands like this for a few minutes. Take a few deep breaths, just feel the power. And believe it or not, you can sit down. Believe it or not, striking this superhero pose has actually been studied by Harvard Business School, and it has been proven to have benefits in building courage, in building confidence when you go into a high-stakes social environment. It's actually proven to be beneficial to us, striking this superhero pose. I'm going to try and remember to do that every time I preach, just to get the confidence level up. Just get me pumped and ready to go. But whilst this superhero pose might give us the confidence and the courage to face real world examples and situations, there's another posture that we can all strike to get us ready for every situation. And that's the posture of prayer. It's the posture of prayer. And in our passage that I read this morning, right at the very beginning, Paul got this revelation. He got this understanding that we have access to everything that heaven has to offer. And where did it take him? It drove him to prayer. Right at the very beginning, he says, "For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father." He got on his knees. He got into a posture of prayer. And he began to believe for the church that we would be strengthened by God's power, that we would be rooted in his love, that we would be filled with all the fullness of God. He got in this posture of prayer and he began to pray like this for the church because he wanted them and he wants us to grow and he wants us to be fruitful and he wants us to live in the fullness of God. Because when we're rooted in him, we're drawing from a source that never runs dry. We're pulling from resources that are unlimited, that will never run out. We're being filled and we're bearing fruit. And then we have the opportunity to live out the cycle that we touched on last week of extravagant generosity and extravagant grace and extravagant love. Because as we pour out, God pours in. And it just keeps going round and round and round. How do you stay stable in your faith? How do you grow spiritually? You stay focused on and connected to and rooted in and obsessed with the love that Jesus has for you. We just need to remind ourselves just how loved we are. You are loved. If you've forgotten this morning, or you just need a reminder, you are loved. God loves you so much. And he just wants to remind you of that. This morning, he's going to call, he's going to tell you, "I just want to love you so much." He's letting us know. And I just love that Paul's prayer is that we might understand the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, to know the love of Christ that surpasses all knowledge. Let's just try to get our heads around how much God loves us. Just how much he loves each and every one of us. Let me just touch on another movie for a minute. Anyone seen The Meg with Jason Statham? He's a proper man's man. He's nothing like me. And so in this movie, it suggests that in the ocean, there is a thermonuclear layer that creates this false bottom at the ocean's depth. And so these scientists and these biologists had thought that they understood and knew where the bottom of the ocean was. And yet, in this movie, they go to discover and they go to investigate what is at the depths of the ocean, and they get to what they think is the bottom, and then they break through this extra layer and find that there is even more in the depths of the ocean than they had ever understood. And that is where they encounter the Meg, this ginormous shark. However deep we think God's love is, we might think that we've got this understanding of the ocean of God's love, but the truth is that there is a thermonuclear layer that we have placed on our understanding of God's love. But if only we would get down to the depths and investigate a little further and press in a little bit more, we'll break through that layer and realize there is so much more that we have ever dreamed or imagined, that his love is far deeper and far greater than we could ever think. And so it's important for us to spend time and remind ourselves just how much God loves us. We could never get to the bottom of his love. We will never fully understand the depth and breadth and height of his love for us. This incredible agape love of God, the beautiful, unconditional love that has no need for reciprocation even. He's just pouring it out on everyone who will be willing to accept it. He's just pouring it out and pouring it out and pouring it out. God, would you reveal some more of that love to us today? Would you just peel back an extra layer? Just let us go a little bit deeper. Just let us get a greater understanding and vision and picture of just how vast your love is for us. I pray that it's not just head knowledge, but it's heart knowledge that we'll really get hold of and recognize and be impacted by the depths of his love for us. And I love how Paul ends this prayer in verse 20. He says, "Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think." He can do far more, abundantly, beyond anything that we could ever ask or imagine. His love is a love that removes the word impossible from our vocabulary. His love does not have limitations. His love does not have restrictions. It is limitless. It is unlimited. It is never ending. "Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations." And so with a revelation of the depths of God's love for each and every one of us, and with an understanding of this message that Paul speaks to the church, what I want to encourage is that when we assume this posture of prayer, that we'll begin to pray no longer from a place filled with limitations, but we'll get to a place where we can begin to pray prayers that are bold. That we can begin to pray prayers that are scary and daunting and bigger than we could ever dream. Just have a think for a moment about what it is that you're dreaming for, what it is that you're believing for, what it is that you're asking of God. Just think about that just for a minute. I don't know, maybe you're dreaming of setting up your own business. Maybe you're thinking of starting a family. Maybe you're dreaming of going on mission, or maybe you're asking God that your entire family would be saved, or maybe you're dreaming of a new church building. Whatever it might be that you're dreaming of right now, dream bigger. Ask more. Be bolder. Be cheeky in your ask to God. Be greedy in what it is that you're asking of Him, because there are no limitations on His goodness. There are no limitations on His power and His ability to move in your life. He can do infinitely more than we could ever ask. So how big is your ask? Because God's limitation is our expectation. And so if what we're saying is, God, would you save my children? Well, then you're putting a limitation on God. God, don't just save my children. Save all the children. Save all of the young people. Bring them all into a place where they have a revelation of your love, that they can get passionate and excited about your kingdom. God, save them all. Let's get greedy. Let's get bold. Let's get bigger in our ask of God. When we assume a posture of prayer, when we have our eyes fixed on Jesus, when we're looking towards the author and the perfecter of our faith, we can trust Him to fulfill every need and more. And so if we want to see God's power manifest in our lives today, we need to assume a posture of prayer. We need to get down on our knees. But then we need to partner that with limitless faith. With limitless faith. You know, there is so much in the scriptures that we can use and we can read and we can digest to build our faith and to break off the limitations that we are constrained by. Romans tells us that with the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, we can have life. And that means that we are co-heirs with Christ. We have access to everything that heaven has to offer. Not just a little bit of God's goodness, not just a little bit of His blessing, but all of it. We have the authority to invite God to move in power in our lives, in power in our community, in power in our nation and in our world. It goes on even to tell us we are more than conquerors. Whatever it is that we are facing in Christ, we are more than conquerors. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. We have the power of God alive and living and working in us and through us if we call Him our Lord and Savior. And so we need to shake off the limitations that we have placed on ourselves and begin to live in limitless faith. Like the centurion who we read about who came and asked Jesus to heal his servant. He said, Jesus, would you heal my servant? And so Jesus says, yeah, I'll come and I'll see him. But the centurion says, no, you don't need to come. You don't need to come. Just right here, right now, just speak the words and it will be done. You see, even the disciples might have put limitations on Jesus and said, okay, this man needs healing. We need to go and heal him. But Jesus said that the centurion had such faith, he marveled at it. Because the centurion recognized there were no limitations. He didn't need to be there. He didn't need to put his hands on him. He didn't need to anoint him with oil. He didn't need any of that. He didn't even need to speak the words. He shook off the limitations. And Jesus healed the servant. We should aspire to have faith that makes Jesus marvel. Such faith, such limitless faith. No hindrance of doubt, no hesitation, no second guessing, no trying to take things into our own hands. Just pure, unwavering belief that God is who He says He is. In 1 Kings, it talks of how there was a severe famine in Samaria for 3.5 years. There'd been no rain at all. And then Elijah goes before the Lord and he begins to pray for rain. He says, Lord, would you send the rain? And having faith to believe what God had promised him, he climbs up to the top of Mount Carmel and he pleads with God. He says, send the rain. And before he saw anything, before he'd seen a rain cloud coming, before he'd even got a sense that God was beginning to work, he speaks to King Ahab and tells him what he's seeing in the spirit. He says, I can hear it. I can hear an abundance of rain. This land had been dry for 3.5 years, but he speaks in faith. He shakes off all limitations and he says, I can hear the rain. I can hear it coming. He speaks it out in faith. He gets down on his knees on the top of that mountain and he pleads to God, not just for a little bit of rain, not just for just enough rain, but for an abundance of rain. One translation says a mighty rainstorm. Elijah had the faith to believe God, not just for a sprinkling of rain, but for an abundance, not for a puddle, but for an ocean of God's blessing on the land. He assumed this posture of prayer and he partnered that with limitless faith. And look at what God did for that nation. Church, let's believe for breakthrough. Let's not just sing nice songs about miracles and healings and God's power. They are not just words on a screen. But they should be the cries of our heart from a posture of prayer with limitless faith that says, I actually believe that we will see revival in our nation. I actually believe that the young people will be set free from anxiety and depression and poor mental health. I actually believe that you can move through this church. I actually believe for a new building. I'm actually believing for healing. I'm actually believing for salvations in my family. Can we actually pray with limitless faith? Faith, believing that God will move. Let's have the faith to see the extraordinary become our ordinary. Let's believe that mighty exploits in Jesus' name will become our norm. To believe God's power can flow through us today. This is not a pipe dream that may happen 3, 4, 5, 10, 20 years from now, but today, right here, right now, that God can begin to move through us when we get on our knees in prayer, when we shake off the limitations that we have put on ourselves, and we begin to believe and declare God's goodness over our lives. I don't know about you, but it sounds awesome to me. I want some of that. But maybe you're sitting there this morning and you're thinking, well, yeah, that does sound great. But you're still battling with the limitations. And you're still battling with the doubts and the fears and the questions about how and why and who. And God's saying, no. Shake it off. Like Taylor Swift has told us. Shake it off. Get rid of all of that stuff. Let the chains fall to the ground that have been holding you in place. And let's begin to stand up and to believe that God can move. You know, when it seems like nothing is going your way, when it seems like I just want to give up, when it seems that every door that you push on is closed and every avenue that you go down comes to a dead end. When you're facing financial difficulties, or you're dealing with a horrible diagnosis from the doctor, or when you just think you haven't got the strength to fight anymore, can we remember how Paul prayed? That he prayed with such faith and such boldness to believe for abundantly more, to believe for far more than we could ever dream of. Let me just read it to you one more time. I pray that he would unveil within you the unlimited resources of his glory and favor until supernatural strength floods your innermost being with his divine might and his explosive power. Do you know what that reminds me of? It reminds me of those stories you read where people have this, just this incredible moments of strength in crisis. You know, you hear of the stories where a family is in a car crash and maybe the parent escapes, but the kids are still trapped under the car. And then out of nowhere, the mom finds the strength to literally lift up a car to release her children. And that's not just something you find in the movies. This is an actual thing. It's called hysterical strength. It actually happens, but I believe that can become our norm. That actually when we're facing challenging situations, when we feel like we just don't have enough to break through, to get through, to keep praying, that actually through God's power, through His Spirit, through His supernatural strength flooding through our innermost being, we can pray those prayers and we can see Him move in our lives. We need to believe that for ourselves, not just for other people. Not just to think, yeah, I think that they could do it, or he can have that, or she can believe for that. But me, I can believe. I can stand in faith. I can shake off the limitations. And I can trust God for a mighty move of His Spirit in whatever situation you're facing this morning. Why don't we pray? Oh God, I don't know the needs of everyone in this room this morning. I don't know the situations we're all facing or the struggles or the challenges that are going on in our lives. But what I do know is that when we assume a posture of prayer and when we shake off the limitations of our world or even the limitations of our own faith, that we can step into new depths of your love. That we can step into new depths of your strength and your power and your might at work in our lives. And so right now, I pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would fall down in this place, that you would fill us afresh, pressed down and running over with your strength to fight, your strength to get through, your strength to see breakthrough, your strength to dream big dreams, your strength to ask big asks, that God, we would believe for far greater than we have ever asked or imagined before in our lives, not just because we think it might be nice, but because we believe that you can do it.